This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Our Poe show continues with the last days of Edgar Allan Poe. The circumstances and even the cause of Poe's death remain a mystery, but we do know a great deal about his life. He was born in 1809 in Boston to a pair of actors. His mother died shortly after his father abandoned the family, and young Edgar was taken in by the Allan family, who were well-educated and well-off. The Allans cut him off after Poe left for college and his relationship with his foster father grew stormy. Poe's poverty and his taste for alcohol and women are often blamed for his erratic behavior, romantic desperation, and frequent relocations. In one such move, Poe was taken in by his aunt, Maria Clem, who he called Aunt Muddy, and his cousin, Virginia, whom he married when she was just 13. He settled into life as a writer and respected reviewer and lecturer. His young wife's death of consumption left Poe on a downward slide from which he would never recover. A later failed relationship led to attempted suicide. Poe then rallied again and was offered the chance to start a literary magazine in Richmond, Virginia. That fresh start is where our story begins. Earlier this month, Brian Hackert presented The Last Days of Edgar Allan Poe as a slideshow for the Big Read at the Peterborough Town Library.
He left the Bronx for Richmond. He went first to Philadelphia, a place that he lived previously. And when he arrived in Philadelphia a week later, he showed up at the door of a man named John Sartain. Mm-hmm. And he was extremely delirious and somewhat delusional, and he explained to Sartain that men had been following him and that men wanted to kill him and that he had to change his appearance immediately and wanted a razor to shave off his mustache that he'd been wearing for a couple of years. Sartain didn't want to give him a razor, but he trimmed the mustache off with scissors as close as he could get to the skin to change his appearance. At that point, he stayed with Sartain for a few days till he could calm down, and Sartain found out that the reason he had taken so long to get from the Bronx to Philadelphia was that he had been in jail for public drunkenness in Philadelphia. And he needed to get to Richmond because he had this great new life he was about to start. However, he had no money. Could Sartain give him some money for train fare from Philadelphia to Richmond? Mm. An inauspicious start to what he considered a hopeful new venture. They were able to raise enough money for him to get to Richmond, so he arrived in Richmond. He settled in at the Swan Tavern. He made old acquaintances since he had lived in Richmond before, and then he reacquainted himself with his childhood sweetheart, Sarah Elmira Royster Shelton. And he met frequently with Elmira and proposed to her, in a sense begged her to marry him, and said that he never stopped loving her, and he loved her since they were 15 when they were engaged to be married, although Sarah's father would not allow the marriage. He officially joined the Sons of Temperance in Richmond. Wow. And made an official vow to never drink again. Mm-hmm. During that time, he was well received in Richmond. The newspapers wrote good reviews of his lectures, was relatively successful, supposedly enlisted quite a few subscribers to the upcoming magazine, and was feeling hopeful about this upcoming venture. Before he could start, though, he had to go back to the Bronx to fetch Muddy, mm-hmm. bring
his
her back to Richmond, yes, where she would live with him and Elmira Royster together in Richmond as a family. He would not have done anything without bringing his Aunt Maria with him. Anything that he did for the rest of his life, she would be part of it because she was, to him, his mother.
So we know that this marriage did not come off. What happened?
Poe planned to leave Richmond and go back to the Bronx. He left Elmira on September 27th for the last time. He had a ticket on a steamer from Richmond to Baltimore that was leaving at approximately 5 a.m. the next day, and decided to eat a late supper to help kill some time. Went to Sadler's Tavern and there had his supper and met a few friends. When he left, the people who he was with said he left sober and in good spirits. Although another contemporary, Dr. John Carter, whom Poe visited earlier the same day, said that he suspected Poe was drinking. Poe visited Dr. Carter just before supper time and seemed nervous, was playing with the doctor's sword cane, a new sword cane that the doctor had. When Poe left the doctor's office, he left his own walking stick at the doctor's office and took the doctor's sword cane with him. Some people speculate maybe because he was feeling paranoid and thought he needed a weapon. He left Sadler's Tavern around midnight, went back to his room at the Swan Tavern. Then from the Swan, he went to the docks in Richmond and boarded his steamer for Baltimore. However, for some reason, he left his luggage at his hotel in Richmond, and he left the sword cane at the hotel in Richmond. This was the last anybody ever saw of Poe until October 3rd, when he was found delirious and incoherent in Baltimore, dressed in somebody else's clothes, dirty and disheveled, with no money or possessions.
So those are 6 lost days, completely lost. You've obviously done a lot of research on this and know a lot about what happened to him, but this is one of America's most famous writers, and nobody knows what happened.
Nobody knows. There's nothing but theories. The only thing people know for sure is that he was an alcoholic before he disappeared, and that he was unable to communicate when he was found in Baltimore in a tavern called Ryan's, which was also a polling place. It was election day when he was found. He was taken from the polling place to the hospital. He was coherent enough to be asking for a Dr. Snodgrass. He lived in Baltimore once, and he had acquaintances in Baltimore. Snodgrass was somebody he remembered, was able to say the name.
So he knew where he was, I guess.
Yes. Somebody sent a message to Snodgrass. He came and retrieved Poe from Ryan's Tavern in Baltimore and took him to the hospital in Baltimore, at which time he was treated by a Dr. Moran for 5 days there. However, the treatment didn't amount to much more than giving him a change of clothes, putting him in hospital clothing, a hospital gown, cleaning him up, and giving him water to drink. Other than that, he lay in bed incoherent, sometimes shouted out, hallucinated, called for what Dr. Moran thought was the name of Reynolds. Although Poe knew nobody named Reynolds. Some later speculated that he was calling the name Herring, which sounds a little bit like that and is the last name of Poe's uncle in Baltimore. Mm. But other than that, people could get nothing out of Poe. Poe couldn't say what had happened to him for the last week that he had disappeared, couldn't explain his condition. He was examined and wasn't found to be injured. At the time, Dr. Moran and Dr. Snodgrass said that he was not drunk. And when he passed away on October 7th, 1849, his death was called by Dr. Moran congestion of the brain. However, that's not an official cause of death because no death certificate was apparently filed because no death certificate has ever been found. The only official word, contemporary word at the time in Dr. Moran's words was a letter to Maria Clemm where he said, "I am sure you are aware of Mr. Poe's previous malady." She wasn't. She had no idea what he was talking about, and he never named the malady.
A man of so many memorable words, and one who in many ways stamped for us the image of looming death, and even a goth-like sensibility, unable to utter anything coherent on his deathbed. The Tragedy of Poe. Brian Hackert, their reference librarian at the Peterborough Town Library in Peterborough, New Hampshire, talking about the last days of Edgar Allan Poe. You can find more on his research and Poe's mysterious death at that Baltimore hospital in 1849 at wordofmouthradio.org. As part of The Big Read, New Hampshire's month-long exploration of Edgar Allan Poe, we've been considering whether his tales and poems of horror, death, and human darkness still have the power to scare us. As you're probably picking up on today, Poe's fear factor may depend on the presentation. Or as one NHPR volunteer put it, if Vincent Price is reading Poe, it's still scary. I put the question to a literary giant, Booker Prize winner and benighted author Salman Rushdie, before interviewing him last night for Writers on a New England Stage. Now, Rushdie has lived under the fear for his life under a 9-year fatwa. Here's how he answered. Not really. Vincent Price has kind of ruined that for us, hasn't he? So, scary is clearly subjective. What does the reader bring to Poe? Is that the ultimate question? Or is it the work itself? So we return to the text. Here is one of our favorite storytellers, Sean Hurley, reading an excerpt from The Raven.
"Wretch," I cried, "thy God hath lent thee, by these angels he hath sent thee. Respite, respite, and nepenthe from thy memories of Lenore. Quaff, oh quaff this kind nepenthe, and forget this lost Lenore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." "Prophet," said I, "thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends above us, by that God we both adore, tell this soul with sorrow laden, if within the distant Aden, it shall clasp a sainted maiden, whom the angels name Lenore. Clasp a rare and radiant maiden, whom the angels name Lenore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." "Be that word our sign and parting, bird or fiend," I shrieked upstarting, "get thee back into the tempest and the night's Plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie thy soul hath spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken, quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak from out my heart, and take thy form from off my door." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas, just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore.
So, what do you think? Heebie-jeebies? Chills? You can hear Sean's full reading of The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe at wordofmouthradio.org. Thank you for joining our Edgar Allan Poe show today. We do hope you enjoyed plunging into Poe as much as we reveled in putting it all together. There are so many ways to be a part of this month's statewide big read. How about dressing up for a 19th century style cotillion in New Boston, a scavenger hunt in Wilton? You can celebrate the creativity of an American original at one of the many Poe-related events around the state. There's a full list at wordofmouthradio.org. And special thanks today to the Center for the Book at the New Hampshire State Library for putting the big read together, especially to Mary Russell for inspiring us. And to the passionate readers, loving librarians, booksellers, teachers, and community partners that continue to celebrate the life force that is literature. If you missed any of today's program, go to wordofmouthradio.org, where we have some exclusive Poe content that didn't make it to the air today. You can also post questions or feedback about what you heard on the air. Contribute to the conversation by emailing us at wordofmouthradio.org, post on our Facebook page, or send us a tweet. I'm Virginia Prescott. This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. And I, for the record, find Poe pretty scary. Quoth the raven, "Nevermore."